We'll continue now with a look at Surah Al-Jin, which is the 72nd Surah of the Quran. This is our second week in examining. Last time we had reached up to the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now quoting a group of the jinn, the spokesman from a small group, a nafar. Nafar here usually meaning a group of about 3 people to 8, 9 people, so a small group of jinn, who had, as we shall see today, noticed a discrepancy in their world and were trying to find out what was the source of that discrepancy. And in doing so, they came upon the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciting the Quran. And so they listened carefully to the words of the Quran, and that brought about change in them. And then they took this message and took it back to their people. And so we said last week that this is what is going on. This is the sort of background of this surah. And this group of people are most likely who we call Da'i. So that the jinn and the jinnat do not have necessarily prophets of their own. It seems to, from the Quran and from Ahadith, it seems that they follow the same prophets that have been sent to humankind for their guidance. And also the A'imma alayhim as-salam, as we saw in some reports last week, that they also interact with the jinn and solve their issues. So now, this conversation is going on between this small group of enlightened jinn, if you like, who have gone back to their people. So verse 6 and 7, I think, was where we had stopped. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْإِنْسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِ. There is a group of men who take refuge, يَعُوذُونَ لَكَ عَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ, where بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِ, amongst the men folk of the jinn. But فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. The upshot of it is that they misguide them, they increase them in their wrongdoing and in their misguidance. So this contact between men and jinn is not in any way advantageous. And the question does come about that, is contact between jinn and man something that we should look into, or we should try to contact them? People are curious sometimes. For various reasons, people would like to contact the jinn. They would like to do it out of idle curiosity to find out about the whole new creation. They would like to find out about knowledge. They would like to find out perhaps about historical data. The jinn are long living after all. They have seen things that we only read about. And then for other various reasons of gaining certain powers, certain abilities. Somehow they imagine that the jinn will do their bidding and they will become powerful amongst men. There are various reasons. Now, is such contact allowed or not? It seems that the ulama are agreed that if your reason to seek this contact is somehow to subdue them, to subjugate them to your will, what in our own language we fondly say, jinn ne parwan, whatever that parwan means, is actually haram. So to seek to somehow subjugate them to your will and do your deeds for you and such like, this is declared as haram. However, it is a sort of side effect, or it is an effect of certain spiritual practices that men undergo, and certain purity that they reach. And as a side consequence of that, they do begin to see and interact with jinn. And that itself, of course, is not haram, and that itself is not avoidable. Now, in this verse, we have that يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِنَ الْجِنِ, and according to some of us, it means that when they seek refuge amongst the jinn here, it is more likely to mean that seek refuge amongst those men who are conversant with the jinn world. Not Ya'uduna bil rijal min al jinn means that every one of these Arabs used to go and seek refuge amongst the jinns and ask the jinn for protection. No. More frequently, they used to go to people who themselves claimed, rightly or wrongly, to be connected with jinn. And it was quite common. It started off with tribes in Yemen, and then this practice spread to certain tribes in Hijaz as well, that especially when they were on journey, and especially when they were crossing certain valleys, they would deliberately stand and they would address and say, "O chief of the jinn, we seek refuge in you in crossing this place and this plain and this wadi in safety. And, do not harm us and our belongings and such like." This is possibly what is being referred to. The other phenomenon, the phenomenon of the kahin. I don't know, did we talk about kahin last week? Now, these kahin are these soothsayers or these people who foretell the future. And they used to be feared, actually. They would sit in the desert on the path, and they would utter strange things. And in fact, it was commonly held that they were in touch with the jinn. And the jinn would come and tell them certain things. These kahin would then speak in riddles, in poetry, which was a type of poetry called saj, rhyming poetry. And in fact, the early Makkah surahs, when they first came about, one of the accusations made to the Prophet ﷺ was that you are a kahin. Because just like the kahin would begin their utterances and poems with very odd oaths, qasam, I swear by this, and I swear by this, and I swear by this, and then they would say what they want to say, and it would be difficult to understand exactly what they mean. And people accuse that the Prophet, that the early Meccan surahs were of the same kind. That this is exactly the same. It begins with oaths, with qasam, and then you make very, very difficult to understand statements. But if you look at some of the kahin poetry, which we still have from the old sources, and compare them against the Quranic surahs, there is even the most jaundiced eye will see that there is a lot of difference. That was nonsense. If you read, for example, the famous kahin, many of these kahins, by the way, were women. Her name is Zahra or Zahira. This Zahira has a poem. So she starts by swearing, "I swear by the striped reindeer." Okay, maybe there's a striped reindeer. And also, "swear by the muddy sun." And after she has given these unusual swears, the statement she comes up with, "verily there will be a lot of sand." Now, okay, there may be something very deep and wondrous in it, but invariably there were statements that did not make sense. And they frightened the listener. And the whole effect was one of a very weird and eerie kind of meeting. And these kahins were avoided as much as possible. However, we have in hadith that the jinnat would report to them. So they had ability to foretell the future, and many times what they said came true. So for example, we have a hadith from Aisha, it's in Bukhari by the way, that she says, "Ya Rasulullah, these kahin, many of their forecasting and prophecies come true. They say this will happen, and it does happen." So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that these kahins, they have the ear of or the jinnat whisper to them. Whatever little bit they can snatch from the heavens in terms of by eavesdropping on it. And because after my coming, that means after the coming of the Prophet, they are not allowed to listen as long as they like. rather it is a hurried listening. They invariably come and add their own lies into it, and then they tell the Kahin. And the Kahin then makes whatever sense they can make of it, and you know, sometimes it is half true, and most of the time it is just lies. Okay? So, this about the Kahin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in two surahs. One is in Surah Tur, it is 52nd surah. فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنْ. Continue to remind the people, by the grace of Allah, you are no kahin. وَلَا مَجْنُونَ. And you are not mad. This is in Surah Tur, ayah is 29, Surah is 52. In a more elaborate and very, very stern series of verses, Surah Tuhaqqa, of course, Surah Tuhaqqa is about Ma'ad and is one of the stern surahs in the Quran, which is Surah 69. In that, from ayah 40 onwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Quran that إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. These words that are coming to you, they are brought to you by a Rasulun Kareem. Okay? Rasulun Kareem here referring to Jibreel. He is a trustworthy, noble messenger. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. This is not the words of poetry, ash'ar, shayri, as we say. Okay? Even though you don't understand. Then, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. It is not the words of the kahin. تَمْزِيلٌ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Actually, it has been brought down by رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, sent down by رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And then, a very, very stern verse, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ. تَقَوَّلَ means, you know, تَقُولُ means to say, قُولُ means to say, تَقُولُ means he said. تَقَوَّلَ means if he fabricated by saying, if he was making it up, تَقَوَّلَ. عَلَيْنَا بَعَضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. If this prophet says something and then makes it up from himself and says, I have revealed it, what will I do? لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ. I will seize him by his right. I will seize him by his right hand. ثُمَّ لَقَتَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ. And I will cut off his aorta, the life vein. That means I will eat him, he is dead, if he dares to do this. It's very, very stern and directed at the Prophet, peace be upon him. فَمَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ عَنْهُ حَاجِزِين, I think it is, or حَاجِزِين, أحسن. None of you can stop me from this, for protecting from this action of mine. Somehow withhold me from doing this. Now here the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, about the Kahin, you will find in some of the earlier texts some interesting examples of prophecies that came true. Some Kahin became very popular, very feared and such like. But here, according to riwayat and according to this verse, the verse of the Quran is something quite distinct and different. Then, in the verse number 7, I'm not sure if we finished there or not. وَأَنَّهُمْ ظَنُّوا كَمَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ لَنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. And they thought, like you thought. Now here of course, they referring to al-ins, the insan. And you thought referring to the jinn who are arrayed in front of these few jinn who are teaching them or guiding them or reporting to them. أَلَّنْ يَبْعَثَ اللَّهُ أَحَدًا. That God will never raise anyone. Now, possibly there are two meanings to this. It may mean that they thought that Allah will never cause a day of judgment to come. But more probably it means here, يَبْعَثَ, not talking about the final resurrection, but talking about the Ba'tha of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they imagine, just like you imagine, that God will not send another prophet. And so, either one of these meanings will lead us into what we want to talk about. this week, inshallah. Now comes this news that they are giving. Now, it may be that these particular jinn are much more active, much more strong, perhaps the chiefs amongst them, because now they are telling them, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ. And we went out to touch the skies, that means to reach the skies. But فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا. But we found it filled, مُلِئَتْ, filled with guards. حَرَسًا here, the plural of حَارِس. شَدِيدًا, strong, stern. وَشُهُبَا, شُهُبَا here, شَهَاب, light, lightning. These are weapons. They were using lightning or some sort of thing that they were casting at them as weapons. وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. And we used to have places where we would sit down and listen to what is going on. These were sitting places, special places. We could listen to مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ, listening to what is happening in the heavens, in the angelic world, in the spiritual world. They had access to them. But فَمَنْ يَسْتَعْمِ الْآنِ, but whoever tries to listen now, يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا, will find himself the target of a flame. He will be shot at. Now obviously they are reporting to them that till now you and we could go. But if any of you tries now to go al-an, he will find the door is closed. So it seems that the jinn used to go towards a certain level of the heavens. And from there, it was possible for them to eavesdrop, to listen in on conversations, on business that was to do with that realm. And some of the snippets they would gather, which were to do with Ahlul Dunya, people of the world, they would come back and through the Kahin, they would disseminate it into the people. So you would have people who can prophesize what is going to happen, or people who said to you, this will happen. And this, of course, sometimes the news was correct, sometimes the news was half correct, sometimes, you know, out of mischief, they would say whatever they wanted to say. It was never that they were trustworthy in this regard. But what they found now, after the, you see, if you look at the previous verse, that we never thought Allah would raise someone. Here, meaning that the moment the Prophet ﷺ was brought to Nabuwwah, at the age of 40, these spaces or these listening places were all shut. Access immediately was closed. And now anybody who went found a quite stern guard there and with a weapon that would chase them. And this kind of thing has been mentioned in other surahs also, of the Quran, Surah Mulk, Surah Hijr, and so on, that if you try to go, the angels try to, the jinn try to go, they find that lying in wait for them is a guard who will stop them and who will actually attack them. Now there are a few questions. I mean, one of the questions that may arise is that, were these guards there before? Or did they come with the advent of the Prophet ﷺ? There are two views on this. One view says that they were there, always there. But they were not there in large numbers. And they certainly were not there to block every possible access. Now one can imagine, you know, if you have a bit of imagination, that you've got people who want to guard something. Some parts of it are more important than others, and those are guarded. Other parts are not guarded, so those who want to come can reach those places, right, and get some information of what is going on. So it is a bit like I close the door, but the window is there, you can peek in and have a look. You can get some idea, of course, but you wouldn't get the whole idea. But it's not the same simile that we would say here, that we don't have enough resources to put policemen on every street. And that is why we haven't been able to. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is part of His will. The very fact He allows them to eavesdrop is part of His plan. I mean, it is not that He has any problem with resources. So this was part of the plan. But then, after the coming of the Prophet, peace be upon him, these little spaces and little seating areas where they could come and listen, and they describe it that we used to sit in sitting areas to listen, those were also closed off. This is one view. And the other view is no. With the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, these guards were brought in, and one go, and all was stopped. I mean, no access to the heavens. The first option seems to be quite plausible, although we can't say with conclusive sort of evidence that this is the case. It seems more possible from certain words, like for example, فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَثًا. Verse number 8. We found that now it was full of guards. Mulyat here means when every gap has been filled. That means previously we had gaps, and those of us who knew how to get through, we used to go till where we were allowed to go. But now we found all the gaps are full up. Mulyat. And then وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ. And we used to have certain places we would sit and listen, which were unguarded. But now they are hard there, stern guards. Now, maybe, the question here is this, and we are mindful that we are entering into Salah's time, is why? What was it that stopped this access? Or why was it necessary? Because these jinn, perhaps not all of them, but certainly some of them, had this ability to touch the skies, لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاء, touch the skies, in that sense meaning access the skies, and get something, however garbled. Why was all this stopped? I don't know if there are any thoughts on this. What could the reason be? Any idea? It is something to think about. I don't think that it's something that is a clear answer. But if you look at the effect of what they used to do when they used to touch the skies, they used to come back and distort and mislead, isn't it? Now that was fine as long as there was always going to be another prophet and another prophet and another prophet to clear these distortions. Many of these deviated beliefs that come into society, it is, according to one riwayah, these are first suggested, the pristine teachings of a prophet are first polluted by suggestions from Jinnah into the minds of people. Okay, let us do it like this. Let us do it like that as well. What's wrong with it? So somebody comes and the people who are in touch with the Prophet have a very clear idea. Second generation, third generation may not have such a clear idea, and then somebody comes and pollutes this work. There's evidence of this in the Quran. That Allah says, whenever a Prophet came, Shaitan would send a minion to spoil what that Prophet was trying to do. And when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked that, you also? He says, yes. I also have one of the shayateen who was assigned to me. So he said, that he was asked, does he not trouble you? He says, no, mine has accepted Islam at my hands. The Prophet said, mine has accepted Islam at my hands. So the different prophets, their teachings were ruined, polluted, first by me. Now, obviously with the passing of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and him being the seal of the prophets, this kind of pollution or this kind of distortion from the jinn, which obviously is very, very dangerous, is now stopped. Because no longer they are allowed access. No longer can they predict anything, prophesy anything. This is one point, maybe. I mean, there may be other reasons, but it was something I was thinking about that. And I did not see Allama Tabari comment on it, nor did I see some of the other scholars who I both of you have comment about why. But perhaps in another place they have. So we were talking about the idea that access to the heavens after the coming of our Prophet was stopped for the angels, for the Jasakadar, for the jinn. And we thought about some reasons. One, I am sure some of the Mufassirin have got some opinions on it, and inshallah ta'ala I might be able to find hadith on it, in which case I will share with you in the last session, which is next week. Nonetheless, it seems plausible that the reason we stated, which is that it must have something to do, obviously, with the fact that they were not allowed to hear certain things because they were not trusted messengers, unlike Jibril Amin, who is a trusted messenger. And they were not loyal to the information they would bring down. In fact, they were not concerned if they mixed truth and falsehood and invariably confused the message that was left by the prophets. And this is the last prophet, so maybe this is perhaps why. The next verse is a continuation of that. وَأَنَّ لَا نَدْرِي أَشَّرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know whether evil, shar, is meant for those who are on earth, or does Allah want to bring them to Rashada. Now this, of course, you need to understand what this verse means. I mean, this it is just what is being referred to here. There are two or three things here. First of all, the jinn are saying that we don't know. La nadri. And why don't they know? Why don't they know? Because access has been stopped for them. So now they don't know. Then أَشَّرٌ أُرِيدَ بِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ رَشَدًا. We don't know that by this action, this is what it means, by this action, that means what? This action of shutting off our access, is evil destined for humankind, or does God plan to give them guidance as a result? Now obviously here, this conversation, it is always a question that I think we have looked at in the past, and that is the eloquence of the Quran means that the words are from Allah. What is the situation when Allah is quoting someone? If Allah says that Musa said, or Fir'aun said, if Fir'aun's actual speech is quoted, perhaps it is not very eloquent, not to mention the fact that he is not Arabic. Fir'aun did not speak Arabic, neither did Musa. Or Nuh for that matter, or the conversations with simple people, the son of Nuh. Yet the conversation that, for example, let's take Nuh alayhi salam and his son, the disobedient son. That is a very, very eloquent part of the Quran. So whose speech is it? Is it the speech of Allah paraphrasing the conversation? Or is it Allah quoting their speech and perhaps just translating it into Arabic? This is a question that Mufassirin have looked at, and there is no doubt that it is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paraphrases it in his own language, in his own words. the words and those of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correcting any distortion. Because by Allah placing it in the Quran and then not, for example, commenting on it or challenging it or refuting it, it means that Allah has sanctioned it. If, for example, Fir'aun says, "Ana rabbukumul a'la," I am your biggest Allah, Lord, then Allah will not leave that statement, but He will say, but Fir'aun was in clear misguidance. But if Allah leaves it there, then we are allowed to draw from it as much as we can draw from it. Now this sentence, therefore, is very, very subtle because, first of all, it admits that shar does not come from Allah, rather shar, the doer, if you like, or the subject of the verb is majhul, unknown. Look carefully, you will see. They don't declare who is the doer of the verb. Whereas, for guidance, the subject is Rabbah, Rabbuhum. So here the angel or the jinn, astaghfirullah, keep saying angels. The jinn admit that the evil, if evil is intended, or evil will come about from this action of shutting our access, it is not from Allah. It will be from another source, probably jinn. Or does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish to increase the guidance of those meant, those who are on earth? Here, those who are on earth refers to insan. And here, increasing in guidance, the nisba is given to Allah. So increase in guidance comes from Allah, whereas shar and evil comes from the acts of people. And this is something that is in various different ways, one of the recurrent themes in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bring evil to the people. Rather, it is people, when they turn away from Allah's way, that they heap evil on themselves. Even the verses that say Allah guides whoever He wills and misguides whoever He wills, this misguiding is something that man actually does himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him himself this one. Man turns away and therefore gets misguided. Otherwise it is the zulm. And Allah says in the Quran that I never do zulm on any of my creatures. Nonetheless, here the question is that the angel, the jinn did not know. That is this going to result in goodness or in evil? And rushd, the rushda here of rushd is a kind of completion that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a reaching of the goal, or a reaching of a goal, not the ultimate goal, but a an intermediary goal that is called rushd or rushda, as opposed to, for example, ghay, which is the opposite, which is to be totally turned away from the goal. قَدْ تَبَيْنَ الرُّشْدِ مِنَ الْغَيْدِ. And then, وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ. From us, there are those who are صالحون. Now here, the angels, the jinn are talking to themselves and making an admission. صالح means deserving, able. Doesn't mean good or righteous necessarily in iman, but righteous and good in temperament. That means we are worthy, or we are deserving, or we have potential. So وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ. Some of us have potential. وَمِنَّ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And others don't have that much. Some are weaker and some are stronger. He is not saying some are good and some are kafir. No. كُنَّ تَرَائِكَ قِدَدًا. Let's admit it, we have a lot of sects and different madahib and different ideologies amongst us. And here, Allah Ta'ala says that the word zan, usually zan means conjecture, not sure. guessing than they used. وَأَنَّا ظَنَنَّا And we conjectured. But here, by using the past tense, all the Mufassir Negrin, Allah makes a big grammatical study of it. He says it means not we guessed, it means we know. Several times in the Quran you will see Allah uses past tense when He means future or present, but He uses past. This past is for ta'keed, it means that this event definitely will happen. For example, if you look at, next time you get chance, all the verses that talk about Qiyam, the Akhirah, Qiyam. Allah doesn't say, and the people will be entered in the fire of hell. He will say, people entered. He won't say, and they will say, he will say, and they said, give us some water. And they said, oh Allah, why are we blind? And they said this. But you may ask yourself, how come they said? This has not happened yet. This is called the fi'lul madhi of ta'keed, using the past tense, the grammatical construct or grammatical tool in Arabic, that when something is definitely going to happen, you use the past tense for emphasis. Okay? So, وَأَنَّا ظَنَنَّا أَنْ لَنْ نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ فِي الْعَرْضِ And we know, not we imagine, we know that we will never نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ How is it translated, نُعْجِزَ اللَّهَ Escape. Define.
Define.
Define. Yeah. You see, Na'jiz Allah means that you leave Allah ajiz. He's somehow you have escaped, or you have done something against His will, and He's helpless to actually do something. Ajiz is helpless. So you know when you have given, so you have defied someone in such a way they cannot do anything. You have escaped, you have got away from their domain. We know that we will never be able to do that on earth, on the land, as well as in the skies. Haraba here means to fly away, in flight. That means we will never be able to escape. Here, Allah Ta'ala has got one of the most beautiful explanations of this whole system in which now, remember that when you want to look at the jinnah, there is a class of jinnah who are really working night and day against our interests. Okay? Usually in the Quran they are called shayateen. So if you do a scan of the verses of the Quran that talk about shayateen and their activities, you will see that they are directed not at themselves but at an insan. And essentially, if anyone, whether jinn or man, adopts the customs and, if you like, adopts the standards, adopts the goals and aims of Iblis, they come under the banner called Shayateen. So there are some from men and some from jinns. In one place in the Quran, Allah says that Allah teaches us to seek refuge from Shaytan of man and jinn, isn't it? من الجنة والناس the last verse of the Quran I seek refuge from in Allah from the shayateen who are in jinn and mankind so now there are many many things that these jinn do once shaitan brings them in their fold if you look at shaitan he is a jinn and he is a powerful amongst the jinn perhaps one of the most powerful and it is his stated mission to take revenge on Banu Adam. We have seen this time and time again that when we studied Surah Al-Baqarah we looked at the defiance of Shaytan versus Allah and then the fact that the promise that I will you know misguide him from the front, from the back, from the right, from the left, I will stand on Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is not done alone by one. Shaytan does not have the ability to influence multitude of people. The way, for example, we imagine Allah is with us, all of us. At every moment He is with us. In that sense, no other creature can attach to another creature the way Allah, for example, is with us. You know, Allah says in one hadith al-Qudsi that, Yabna Adam, I deal with you as if you are my only creature, as if you are my only creation. That is how I deal with you. But you deal with me as if you have many creators. You deal with me as if you have many gods. It's a very ironic statement, isn't it? Because we have only one creator, whereas Allah has many creations. Isn't it? So, but shaitan cannot do. Shaitan needs a horde. He needs an army. Jundu shaitan, as we have. Now, in his jund, he brings people. He brings his own kind. He brings others from the ins. And essentially, those who do his work against Allah's will on earth, they are shayateen. And if you want to see how they work, what they do, then it is very easy to do. You would do a search on shayateen and jinn and bring out all the verses. And the entire plot of shaytan is there in front of you. There are no surprises how they work, what they do. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, نَكَيْلَ شَيْطَانَ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Shaytan's plotting is very weak. Shaytan's plot is weak because you already know his strategy. If you know your enemy, how many people he has, you also know the strategy he uses. You know the weaponry he has, the enemy is defeated because you can then develop strategies to counter it. And because Allah says from day one that shaitan is your open enemy, your declared enemy, and these are the way he comes, we know everything. That's what Allah says in the Qaeda. In the Qaeda, shaitan kana dhaifa. Shaitan's trickery and shaitan's plotting is very weak. Now, this first part of the verse refers to this, that we know that no matter what we do, we will not be able to defy God or God's will against the people on earth, against al-ins. That means we will not be able to corrupt them fully, no matter how much we try. وَلَنْ نُعْجِزَهُ هَرَبًا. And even if we were to try to somehow escape Allah's will ourselves, so we cannot get man to deviate and neither can we escape. That means everything is futile if you try to fight against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if there are certain successes you see. You might see some success, but ultimately there is only failure. Allama talks about this in some length in another place, and that he says that such verses by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran show that if you attempt to change something that you know is haq, then you will die, but that haq will not die. Then you will break your head against it, you will fight it, but you will not be successful. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell you that you will not be able to do these things. Why do you even try? It is like the one who says that I will wipe out Islam. Or the one who tries to say that I will, take away the belief in God, and that is my stated aim. He will never reach anywhere with something like that. And so it is better for him to at least try something that is sensible, otherwise he will be forced to acknowledge defeat. Here they are saying the same thing, that we know we cannot escape Allah's will on earth, neither can we do it ourselves by flight. The next verse then talks about, time is going very fast, you know, about the iman part. وَأَنَّا لَمَّا سَمِئْنَا الْهُدَىٰ آمَنَّا بِهِ. It's very important, akhlaq, that when we heard the truth, we believed. You see, every person's search should not be for the next question, but should be for the ultimate answer. Once you know, why ask anymore? Sometimes a person will ask a question of a scholar, and the scholar will answer him, and the person will ask a second question. a third question, a fourth, for the sake of asking. But when the truth has been achieved and arrived at, no more questions are necessary. They say, Lamma sami'na al-huda, when we heard huda, when we heard the truth, amanna bihi. And then they say, فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِرَبِّي فَلَا يَخَافِي بَخْتًا وَلَا رَحْكًا. Once you have turned to Allah, you have believed in Allah, there will be the possibility of personal loss. There will be the possibility of some disgrace. There will be the possibility of some battles you may have to fight. But you should not fear anyone, because you have chosen the strongest road. Everything else that comes is weaker than the one you have turned to. And so he says, in this way, وَعَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِمُونَ. Some of us have become Muslims, have submitted, and others, قَاسِمُونَ, deviated from that which we know our heart. Our heart knows it to be true, but we decide to deviate. فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّمُ. And so those who have become Muslim, they will reach completion. Rashada. You know, when we talk about buluga and rushd, buluga is an age we reach where we have to do the wajibah. Rushd is not an age that is there. Rushd is an age of completion, of maturity. You may be rashid, and if you are rashid at the age of 10, you are allowed by fiqh to pray in the jama'at in the first line. It is not buluga. And you may be a 30-year-old man who is not reached rushd yet, but he is baligh by age, you see. So this is very important, that completion or maturity. And he says that this is the only way to completion, meaning the only way for man to understand his potential, what Allah brought him for, is through aslam, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. As for the qasitun, well, they will be the fuel. Even hell needs a fuel to keep burning, and such will burn in that fire. Okay, let's bring it to an end here, because I know we have to have some time for comments and questions. And we will then talk about the last part, which is now about Ma'ad, inshallah, next week. And that will bring us to the end of our very brief look, obviously, through the jinn. Please.
There is one question which I have. You say here, amongst us, people who are doing good, amongst us are people who are following different sects, was it? So, could they be some jinnas who are Christians, or Hindus, or other sects? Or?
Yeah, it seems like that. We talked last week, briefly, that there is a view, or at least there was an anecdote, where it seems that the jinn were either Muslim, the Muslim jinn were Shia, and there are no Sunni amongst them. We talked at length about that. But certainly there are amongst them those who are not Muslim, and amongst the non-Muslim ones, it may well be that there are those who follow the religion of previous prophets. In this very same surah, it says that I brought the ayah last time. It says that these angels, these jinn, they go to their people and they tell them that, this is Surah Ahqaf, Surah is 46, ayah is 29. And they say to them that, قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا, they tell their people, these jinn, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا, we have just heard a book, أُنزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى, it is a book that has come after the book that went to Musa. So probably we are talking about people who are followers, or angels, or jinn who are followers of Musa alayhi salam. So they may well have been, yes, amongst them different sects, and certainly, you know, following different ideas about God and such.
Thank you.
This idea of the jinn being able to reach the heavens,
yeah.
Surely this refers to a spiritual domain. Why is it that they had this access while the humans never had this access? Only higher than the hierarchy. And secondly, the hadith you quoted from Aisha saying that, asking the Prophet about the
Kahin.
That shows that even at the time of the Prophet, they still gained some new news, so it wasn't totally shut down.
No, yes, but what Kahins were doing were still prophesying, even at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When we talk about Ilmul Ghaib in this surah next week, we will see that the jinn were given to boasting, to saying things that they didn't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a clear criticism of them in another place in the Quran, where he says, if you know so much about Ilmul Ghaib, why did you work so hard under Sulaiman for 3 days while he was dead? They were afraid of Sulaiman, and Sulaiman had ordered them to work, but Sulaiman died while he was leaning on his stick. So the jinn continued to work hard for 3 days. And then only when the termites, the small insects, ate through the stick, that the Prophet tumbled to the ground, that everybody who was working so hard realized that he is dead. Because Sulaiman alayhi salam was very, very strict. I mean, they were very scared of him. His discipline was very harsh. It had to be. Because it's hard enough running an army of men. Imagine having to run an army of birds and human beings and jinn and all that. Which is why he sounds harsh. Sulaiman alayhi salam said, where is Hudhud? Ma li la ara al-Hudhud. In Surah An-Naml, maybe. No. He says, if he doesn't come back with a good excuse, I will slaughter him. I will actually slaughter him. And it's very harsh. You have to have iron discipline if you have got animals in your army and birds and all that. Now, question. There are many creatures who ostensibly, apparently are stronger than us. Certainly. There are animals who are faster than us, stronger than us. They can do things we cannot do, like fly. That doesn't make us inferior to them, because in time we subdue every one of them. Even the biggest elephant, we cage him. The biggest whale, we kill it. So, just because physically it can do something that we cannot, it doesn't make it superior to us. The jinn can do things that we cannot. That is to do with its constituent. What it is made of allows it. It is made of a more latif, more subtle matter than us, allowing it to float and move to certain places where we could not, with the denseness of us. It is obviously in the physical, in the spiritual realm. However, it is not totally spiritual that it can be done without movement. It is not that there is a jinn who is sitting in one place, but he is also listening to Sama. Because the flame that follows them is a real flame. Now, there, some ulama say the whole thing of comet or is the shahab and all is metaphorical, entirely metaphorical. Others say that, no, there may be some truth in it. Not these comets or shooting stars we see, shaitan being thrown out of or chased away. But certainly something is happening. And I don't think it is purely spiritual, nor is it obviously physical in that sense. But it is in a realm that they live that allows this kind of movement.
For my knowledge, for my information, have jinns or genies been mentioned in the Torah and the Injil as well?
Yeah.
Or
Yes, of course, they will mention. No? There is a, you know, they are called certain. There is, if you look at the Christian text, there's so much about, you know, possession by the genie and so on. But they call them in different names, and they have also a large amount of text about marriages and children, half jinn, half man, and in the, especially in the Catholic tradition. Jews, I would have to check, but definitely if you type even jinn and Christian, you will see just how much they have on that. Yes, definitely they believe in this. It has taken different forms, you know, the idea of ghosts and possession, exorcism and so on, but it is a very clear idea in Catholic faith. And I know that they are taught in their undergraduate studies, even in the beginning, they are taught certain prayers and certain phrases that remove jinn, remove possession. This is something part and parcel of the training of a Catholic priest. Quran mentions some of the jinn types. Quran mentions, for example, shayateen, it mentions ifrit. Ifrit is a kind of jinn, is a species of jinn. It was mentioned in sort of Naml, I think. Or maybe Saba. Yeah.
You mentioned that Islam being able to fire the confession before the Prophet was part of his will or part of his plan.
The point is, the reason I said that was I didn't want you to imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not able to stop. You know, like, because the analogy I given was of a group of police trying to police a rough neighborhood, but because of resources cannot go to every street corner to stop every mischief. So I said that the analogy is incorrect in imagining that Allah did not have the resources. The fact that they were allowed had a purpose. And the fact that it was stopped had a purpose. And I said that these purposes we need to think about, what they could be. You know, why were they allowed? Why were they stopped? I can imagine why they were stopped, but as to why they were allowed to go, I have to just think about it a little bit.
And this is before you go into this.
And you said that you made a point that man is the ashraful mahlukat, isn't it? Man is no, you didn't say that. You said man is superior to jinn. Or did you say man is the best to jinn?
The hierarchy, which higher? What's possible?
Highest possible or higher than jinn?
Higher than jinn.
Higher than jinn, yes, I agree. When it's highest possible, Allah has a verse in the Quran that says man is superior to most of my creatures. Have you seen that verse?
That's from Dara Dunya, right?
Yeah, Dara Dunya. Dara Dunya is the house of don't forget. There are very few things he hasn't heard. Yes, but it's an interesting verse when you read it, that he says that man is superior to most of my creation, not all my creation. So that begs the question, which creation is not superior?
Why did these Jewish jinn not go straight from the Torah, from the teachings of Musa, and ignore the Bible and the Isa?
This is a very good question. That Isa alayhi salam seems to have been there was obviously he was sent to the Jews, but the tradition with Musa seems to have persisted throughout Christendom, and despite the fact that Isa alayhi salam was there. Now, I would guess for the very same reasons that the Jews did not convert to Christianity, although they were faced with the truth of Christianity at their time, for whatever reasons, one can imagine the same reasons applying to the Jinnah, despite their long life, and despite one would expect them to be a little bit more mobile, it seems that sections of them were not aware of what was going on. There were sections of them misled as well about Allah, as we see in this verse. in the surah, he says, you know, we were misled about God, that he has a son and a father. So the jinn's knowledge is not all encompassing, neither do they seem to have if one can imagine that if Isa alayhi salam is preaching in Nazareth, that the jinnat all over the world know what he's saying. It seems that there isn't that kind of awareness, total awareness as well on their behalf. Otherwise, you know, there would be no news, otherwise there wouldn't be no need for the da'i to go back and find them and tell them this is what we heard. It's only when they make a concerted effort to search. So what happens is that the only reason these people started searching for anything at all was their normal access was shut off, and they thought, what is this? When they couldn't climb the heavens anymore, they went to see what is going on. And it is then that they stumbled upon the Quran or the recitation of the Quran. No, feel free and also add to it, really. It would be good.
I'd like to ask you mentioned last week that when the Prophet was reciting the Quran, the jinn came to him and they heard him, and he didn't realize what it is. Now, surely at that time, the Holy Prophet was their prophet of the law. He was the prophet of man and the jinn. How can he be a prophet yet not be able to see his own?
The jinn are able to spy on human beings. You see, there is something they do that allows them to interact or to see into our world, but still keeps them hidden. It's somehow some sort of one-way mirror thing. It is mentioned in the Quran as well that he and his hosts see you clearly from a place where you cannot see them. Okay? So they seem to be able to come close to us in a manner that they are seeing us. They hear us. They even influence us. But we cannot see them at that point from where they are. So now this position allows them to eavesdrop into human life without being detected. Now we are not saying necessarily Prophet peace be upon him did not detect them. But the verse seems to suggest that. The verse says, tell them, O Prophet, that it has been revealed to me that some jinn heard my recitation. Isn't it? Look at the first verse. Qul, tell them, Uhiya ilayya, it has been revealed to me, annahu istama'a nafarun min al-jinn, that a group of jinn were listening to me. Not that, tell them, a group of jinn were listening to me. Or tell them, I saw a group. Tell them it has been revealed to me that a group of jinn were listening to me. Here again, does not necessarily negate the other possibility, but does not seem to suggest it either. The more plausible suggestion here is that Prophet peace be upon him was made aware by wahy. And indeed, you know, to be honest, when you say how come Prophet didn't see him, you seem to be suggesting that the Prophet is got extra powers. This is wahy. This itself is wahy. This, you see, the ability to not sin is something anybody can do with enough strength of will. But the ability not to sin by error is only possibility by wahy, isn't it? Isma is the ability not to sin by error. Isma cannot be achieved by human beings. Isma comes from Allah through the agency of wahy, through the agency of something called Ar-Ruh al-Quds. So this is, if this is what is telling him, what is around him, he can say, oh, yeah, yeah. Isn't it? In that
just taking on that point by sin by error. Even being, when you talk about even an ordinary person can come to a certain degree of isma, because that's what we call make them think. If something says that no, it's not right. And that's what.
But it is not to be trusted all the time. Sometimes you may feel something, but you are mistaken. So isma is an absolute certain knowledge. There is no doubt in that. that wouldn't happen, you know, what they should do, what they should not do. Rather, they see sin, they see the consequence of sin at the same time. This knowledge is not possible without Allah's help. Now, we can come to human beings, I'm sure, as Tawfiq is saying.
Yeah, they are saying.
But otherwise, sinning is something that ulama do not sin. Generally, when they reach a certain level, Shaykh Asaduq will ask this question. Is it possible for a human being to become a normal person to be ma'asum? So Shaykh Asaduq says that you are talking to somebody who has not done makruh for 40 years. Makruh, I have not done for 40 years. Forget sinning. But the isma you describe is not possible without Allah's grace. Because the isma of that kind is only necessary when you are hujjah of God. Because such a person cannot even allow something to happen in front of them if they don't criticize it, that means that thing is okay. They have manifested will of Allah, so they need that kind of protection. But Tawfiq you describe it is very true that it is mentioned in the Quran also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this grace to certain ones of His servants. Who approach Him, Allah give them this tawfiq, that this is what we pray for, may Allah give you tawfiq, may give us tawfiq. This is a grace from God. When we were talking about karamat, no, that was another time. Okay. So it's grace.
Supposing shaitan is not really preventing us from doing certain things, would
men have you see, shaitan is a catalyst. He suggests things. He doesn't actually make you do anything. In the Quran, in the Day of Judgment, he says, I used to invite you and you came. You know, when people blame shaitan, he says, don't blame me. Blame yourselves. I used to just call to you. Okay? I called to you, you used to reply. So the point is that intrinsically in man, there is something that steers him to sharp, and there is something that steers him to good, and basically it is his job to control that, right? And shaitan, unfortunately, you know, suggests things. So this is a possible way to do this. This is a possible way to do it. And as he suggests, if he catches man at a weak point, that man will accept that suggestion. Normally the ulama of akhlaq say that if you feel in yourself something that you want to do, which you know is sinful. So a thought comes in your mind, that, let me tell you about what X was doing, which he was doing in secret, but let me tell you, ghibah, huh? If you suppress it, and you fight it, and you don't do it, if it doesn't come back to your mind again, that urge, then this was a probe from shaitan. If it comes back again and again, this is from you. This is your own bad akhlaq. So shaitan will only come once and attempt to move away. He'll come back again with something else later. But if it keeps coming, this urge keeps coming, every time I see you, I want to tell you about that person. Then this is my own akhlaq and my malaka. Malaka means the way I have molded my nafs, it has become like this. I am a person who enjoys ghibah. It's got nothing to do with shaitan. Now shaitan wouldn't come to me anymore. Why should he? He's already got me in the back pocket. Now he's got someone else. The point is that the ulama of Allah say that if a thought for guna comes to your mind once and you banish it, that's good. But if it comes again and again, get very worried because you have a problem inside you now. It is not shaitan. It's just from the teaching.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.